Hello and welcome to Missing Mystic Falls, a podcast where we cast a critical eye over the hit CW series, The Vampire Diaries. I'm Alice and I'm joined by my co-host Ellie.
Hello.
And the woman who every Christmas posts a card in the post to her dog Watt so he has something nice to open on Christmas Day. It's Catherine.
I wrote his card yesterday. It's going to get sent in the post. It's
very cute.
This is our extra special Christmas episode. And by that, we mean we're talking about season 2, episode 13 of Vampire Diaries. So nothing to do with Christmas.
But we're in the Christmas spirit.
They don't do Christmas. Well, they don't really do Christmas episodes. Otherwise, we'd time it up.
Not until season 4.
There's one. Yeah. There's one that's going to come up at some point.
Wouldn't it be crazy if we just like jumped to season 4 because it was the Christmas episode and then jumped back?
Context.
The amount of stuff that like has happened in between, yeah. It would be so funny.
But no, we're not doing that. This episode was written by Kevin Williamson and Julie Pleck and directed by Joshua Butler. It first aired on the 3rd of February 2011. John Gilbert's return to Mystic Falls is an unhappy surprise for Elena, Jenna, Jeremy, Alaric, and Damon. Stefan does
just about everyone.
The whole cast, they hate him because he's a prick. Stefan does his best to reach out to a confused Tyler, but when Jules takes a hostage, the situation quickly escalates into a violent confrontation.
How do you guys feel about this episode?
It's fine.
Yeah, I think like there's some bits of it I really enjoy. I don't mean like enjoy like it's pleasant to watch, but there are bits that I think are really good. And some of it that's a bit meh. So I think it's quite a down one.
I would say it's probably a good episode. I'm not like, this is a certified all-time banger. But it's good. I didn't mind it.
I think for the storyline, it's good. My issues is it centres on people that I don't like or doing things that I don't like. Like having last episode said that I really like the chemistry between Caroline and Tyler. I freaking hate Tyler this episode. What an awful, awful person. And I hate Gilbert. So
yeah. I do feel like there's an Elena John storyline that's like, interspersed throughout this episode, and I hadn't really noticed it before, but on the rewatch it really is like filler scene,
and they say the same thing every time.
Yeah.
Oh dear,
where do we want to start?
Tyler confronting Caroline, because they just at the end of the last episode it had been this kind of really like Tyler had feelings for Caroline, it like blossomed from more than friendship, but Caroline was confused because Matt had kissed her the same day and she doesn't know how she feels about Matt. So Tyler comes to Caroline's, and I think it's a really interesting, like, Caroline, like, he says, we need to talk. And I think, like, Caroline thinks it's all about this kiss and their feelings, and Tyler thinks that she killed his uncle. So, yeah, it's a very, like, tough conversation that they have.
As soon as they say, like, Mason's name, it's really obvious that Caroline is lying. Like, it's played very overtly. And I do feel a bit for Tyler, because it is such a betrayal. Like, he has never been more vulnerable in front of a person than he was when he was going through his transformation with Caroline, and she knew how much he was hurting that he didn't know what happened to his uncle. And yes, I get that she, in her point of view, she is protecting him, but I still don't think that justifies it. And I still think she could have said, She could have told him the truth. Yes, Damon did threaten him, but like, Damon threatens everyone on a daily basis. He's probably not going to kill one of Elena's friends.
And I kind of get it as in from Caroline's perspective, maybe not having said something before the transformation, you know, so he can kind of get through it and things. But she should have said something since it's been a few days.
And I think she could have if she really wanted to keep Damon and Stefan away from it, she could have said there was another vampire. Like, how has she been turned? Like, she could have said there was another vampire. They killed Mason. Mm-hmm. They've left town. Just something there. Yeah, I feel when he's like, I trusted you, like, he really thinks that Caroline's the one person who knows everything that he can be like 110% honest with. And she's never been honest with him. And probably like, when you first see it, he'd probably be like, is she laughing at me behind my back? Like, are they all just having a big joke about it that I don't know what's happened to Mason and I'm in the dark? Which isn't the case, but like, that could be.
Yeah, and he could feel threatened, like, they killed my uncle. Like, am I next? Is this part? Because she's lied so much to him. Mm. And they don't even really tell him the full story. And I know there's a lot of other things going on, but Caroline decides that Stefan needs to speak to Tyler. I just feel like, why not Elena or something? You know what I mean? Like, why Stefan?
Why not who's actually friends with Tyler? Because, so Caroline like phones Stefan and is like 911. He comes around, she fills him in. And Stefan has the audacity to be like, Damon's not wrong for thinking all werewolves should die.
Excuse me?
Yeah. What?
I was beyond shocked. Like, don't do that. And then go over to Tyler's house with the idea that you're going to become friends. He attacks Tyler first thing anyway. So he starts off really badly.
And I'm not surprised that like Tyler goes for his, like he lunges for his phone and things. Like kind of, I'd maybe do the same thing.
Yeah. That's why it doesn't make sense that Caroline being like, oh, Stefan, you always know what to say. Like, obviously Tyler's going to see it as a threat because it's not someone... Yeah, Elena would make way more sense.
Elena would make more sense, I think. Tyler wouldn't attack her. He'd listen to her. I did like the Tyler-Stefan scene, actually. I thought it was a good scene. I also feel like after the initial attack where Stefan was properly talking to him, I did think you got to see quite a lot of Stefan's character. He was really earnestly talking to Tyler in a way that you want to believe him, which is why Elena like believed him. Like everyone wants to believe in Stefan. Whether he's always telling the truth is different, but he does give off this such an earnest impression that you're like, yeah, maybe he's right. But then instantly he has that switch where he attacks Tyler, which is also very Stefan.
Yeah. I will say though, I found it hilarious. Hold on, I've got it written down, but because it's quite a jumpy episode, I'm trying to find. Okay, he goes, we go to the same school, we have the same friends, we keep the same secrets. Like, that's not really a line. When we go to the same school, I kind of burst out laughing because that's not really like what you would expect to come out of Stefan's mouth in this conversation about whether all werewolves or all vampires need to die.
We go to the same school. Also, Stefan doesn't go to school, really, does he?
No. None of them do. And are they friends? Like, bar Caroline. What are their like joint friends? Because I wouldn't say Stefan and Matt are friends, and I wouldn't say Elena and Tyler are friends. I think Elena likes to be Tyler's friend when it suits her.
Yeah, I guess that is very high school. Is you're not there's some people you're not friends with. You're just in proximity to, so you're kind of like friends by default.
Yeah, in the same friendship group. Yeah.
So, Caroline's friends with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
It's Bonnie. No, she's not friends with Tyler.
No.
She's not friends with... We had season one, we had a few like... Remember we had the Halloween party where Tyler was a gladiator and he was having like a nice conversation with Bonnie and Caroline. And maybe they're friends.
I think Bonnie is friends with everyone. They just don't... don't care about Bonnie's like... Yeah, they don't care to show it, quite frankly. Yeah, because I think it's like she... I think it's the idea that it's like her... Elena and Caroline with like Matt and Tyler, and that's the group, and Stefan's come in to it, but they'll just show bits that are convenient for the show and they will not care about Bonnie's character arc in relation to that at all.
I mean, Stefan didn't say him and Tyler were friends. He knew that would be too far.
That's maybe a stretch.
They have the same friend.
Stefan also says he came to Mystic Falls to build a family. Did he?
I thought that was weird as hell. He came to date Elena. Is that building a family?
No.
He's also meant to be 17. You're not building a family at 17. What, like?
And then meanwhile, while that's going on, Tyler is then talking to Jules. And so Jules like turns up at his house. And she's also talking about all this sort of like, it's nature to be enemies things. And I don't know why this line made me laugh about what it means to be a lycanthrope.
Oh my God. I wrote, she's so fucking pretentious. It's so werewolf.
It's my duty and honour to help you. I was like, oh dear.
Throughout this whole episode, her and Brady, I don't have time for their whole like, we're a pact and you cross one, you cross us all stuff.
They've really... I don't know, I'm kind of a bit bored with the werewolves now. And I was really into it two episodes when it was like Tyler, but they've introduced these like one note boring characters that I don't care for and are just like really slowing down the story and isn't needed.
They're just so extreme of like, yes, sorry. So Al, you like, you were trying to move on and I'm just like throwing a tangent in, but like,
oh no, go for it.
Yeah, so Jules knows that Caroline was lying, that other people have killed Mason. So she goes back and her boyfriend's there, Brady. Yep. And they're talking about Brady really wants vengeance, Jules just wants the boy. And then they kidnap Caroline, because why not? Brady like literally shoots her in the middle of the street where Matt was just there. Like, it's a gun, it goes off. Why are there no reactions of people being like, did you hear a gunshot?
The police are not, I don't want to keep coming for Liz, but she runs maybe the worst police department I've ever seen on screen. Like, they are awful.
You're not wrong. Yeah, and he's just like, he's toys, Brady toys with Caroline. Like, when she's in this cage, she's been shot in the head, he just squirts her with Vervain.
He literally shoots her in the head point blank twice. And I think we will have known that like a vampire can be shot in the head and be fine, but it's really awful to see. Like, her brain will have to like push the bullet out and like heal it. Ugh.
And he's got a like water gun filled with Vervain that he just like squirts at her.
He's such a sick fuck.
Yeah, and he keeps being like, oh, what was that? Like, as if he didn't hear Caroline like taunting her basically as well.
He puts her in a dog cage. Like, locks her up like she's an animal. But did she not think she'd be strong enough to get out of there? Maybe because she's been shot, but they felt like very little bars.
That's what I thought. I didn't know if it was like a cage for a werewolf that is like enhanced, because it seems like it's their motorhome.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, where did that home come from? Did Brady drive it there?
I think so. But yeah, so I feel like it must be enforced, because otherwise it just felt like surely Caroline could get out of it. But I don't know. And then Brady comes out of takes a break from torturing. And Jules just says, did you get it out your system? Like, there is zero compassion from them about what they're doing. Like, there's no rhyme or reason other than like they don't have to torture Caroline. They've kidnapped her to get Tyler. There's no need to treat her the way they're treating her.
I think the problem with them as villains is, you know, villains can be interesting to watch in a number of ways. What the show normally does is they have like quite a charismatic and compelling villain, like we've seen it in Damon and Catherine already. Or they could always go down the like, they're so pure evil route, which I guess they're trying to go this route with Jules and Brady, but it's so poorly thought through. We're still not really understanding why they hate vampires so much. So it just is so thinly drawn, and it just means I'm like, I hate these guys. I don't like watching them. I don't even care if they get, I don't even want to see them on screen to like get killed. Like, I just don't want to see it anymore.
Mm. Yeah, I'm with you. They're very like one dimensional.
But Jules takes Caroline's phone and calls Stefan and is like, you have 20 minutes to bring me Tyler. Otherwise, Caroline's dead.
Oh my god, Tyler's dumb little face at several points in this episode was quite funny. When he hears that like Caroline's been captured, he looks so confused. Like, he hasn't kind of understood that this is a life or death situation.
Oh yeah. I don't think he knows what's happening.
I really don't think he's...
Or like the extent of it.
He's not been explained properly. He's only had like half conversation with Stefan. And Stefan hasn't gone into it with like, this is the situation, this is what happened with me. Like, they've not given him any context to anything that's happened. So he is still kind of fumbling in the dark a bit.
Before we get on to like Stefan and Tyler arriving, should we talk about like Damon and John in a bit? Because I think it then does all kind of...
Link up.
We start with... Oh, sorry. At the start of the episode, Damon's in the shower and it says three people are dead. And then throughout the episode, there's like a memorial. Who are those three people? Because it's not the woman... Damon killed.
It's the woman people Rose killed.
Yeah, so there's three Rose killed, there's the woman Damon killed, and there's the campers, I think.
The three Rose killed, not the campers?
No, that was Jules. Jules killed the campers as a wolf.
So who's these?
Rose goes to whatever event's happening at the school. She kills the security guard and then the couple.
Sorry, no, I was thinking that Rose and Jules were the same person. Right, I understand now. Okay, so there have been a lot of people to die recently, actually.
Yeah, they also say that it's drugs is blamed for the three deaths. And I'm like, how stupid are the people of Mystic Falls?
Liz has so much to answer for. Why are they blaming the campers on drugs because they don't think that was vampires? Like, I get covering up the vampire deaths, but these are active open murder cases. Why aren't they trying to solve them?
No, because I think, yeah, that's true. They'll just say animal attack, won't they? Anyway, for the campers. But I think they're saying drugs for the school one, which I still think is far-fetched.
But yeah, it starts... Jenna doesn't know that John's arrived. John's arrives and they drop the bomb that John is Elena's biological father. And why no one has told Jenna this?
Poor Jenna.
I feel so bad for her because she's really upset with like this. It's a big lie in Jenna's world, but in Elena's world and everyone else's, this is such a tiny thing. So, and she feels so betrayed by this. Like, imagine how she feels about everything else that they've been lying about for a year.
And like, I still don't really get how Rick can pretend to be her boyfriend. I know he's not, like, but I don't get that. In my mind, it's a pretense because he knows everything. He's not telling her. They sit at the grill together and she's like, I can't believe they kept this secret from me. And he's kept the secret.
He's a bad person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a bad person. It's insane. And also, John drops this bomb because Jenna's like, I'm the legal guardian. You can't stay here. And he goes, actually, I can because I'm Elena's birth father. And that means absolutely fuck all. Elena was adopted. So her legal rights are the same as Jeremy's. It doesn't matter who her birth parents are because they have no legal right because she has been adopted.
Yeah.
So Jenna is Elena's legal guardian, irrespective of who her parents are. So yes, she can say John can't stay in the house.
Literally, I was like, it made... Also, she's just being like, fine, you can stay in Mystic Falls, but you're not staying in this house. I don't think that's unreasonable. He can't just like pop up anytime he wants to.
Yeah, what was John's motivation for telling Jenna?
He's a prick.
He just likes to stir up shit.
Yeah. I also don't really understand with John, because then he goes to the centre and he's speaking to Carol, who apparently tells him that Damon's leading the council. When did that happen?
Honestly, this town has gone to the dogs.
I was just like, as if that's the thing. But like, sorry, that was just a side note. But why is John so supportive of Jeremy compared to anything? Like, he tries the hardest with Jeremy, I find. Because he goes, he sees
more than
Jeremy,
Elena.
Way more than Elena. He sees Jeremy, he tries to take him out for lunch. He wants to talk. All of this. And it's just like, why?
I don't know. I really don't know. Probably because he's a Gilbert son and like,
ugh, yeah,
they get the ring. Maybe he's probably a sexist prick. Like, the men get the ring, the men fight the vampires.
Yeah. That's also what I hate about Jeremy and Bonnie, because Bonnie arrives at this bit and she's having this confrontation with Dr. Martin about like, how dare he, like, she can't trust them. She trusted Luca. He betrayed her. She knows they're working with Elijah. And Jeremy comes in being like, everything okay here? And it's like, what are you going to do in this situation, Jeremy? And also, Bonnie's incredibly powerful. She doesn't need a stupid Gilbert, like, 16-year-old.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Jeremy's a terrible rescuer.
And this Bonnie and Dr. Martin thing kind of goes on with what we were saying before, is that Bonnie has had a storyline this season where she bonds with other witches and they help her develop the magic and she trusts them to dispel the Moonstone. But then she finds out they were playing her off camera. That has been what she has done this season. That has been her main storyline. And it has been like heavily in quite a few episodes. But we don't even get to see Bonnie react to it in any way, shape or form. She's just like, I know you were playing me. They have a 2-minute conversation. And it's such a waste of a story. This whole thing is such, we've said it loads, like how they should have built up better and they should have done more with it. It's an absolute waste of a storyline. And it's a waste of the introduction of two quite compelling and interesting characters.
It's also, I think this conversation is only used so that Jeremy can come in and be like, is it okay? And he and Bonnie can walk off arm in arm. Like, it's nothing for Bonnie herself. But like, Bonnie is so incredibly powerful. She's like really finding her voice. She doesn't need a man to come through and be like, are you okay?
And particularly not Jeremy.
Not Jeremy.
I hate it.
No, I get that. We also have a lot of, sorry, just leading up to when Damon goes over to the fight, is we have quite a lot of Damon and Elena scenes, like addressing her relationship with John. And I think it's really weird that they're giving this to Damon and not Stefan.
Yeah, and straight after what they tried to do at the end of the last episode as well, it feels weird they're doing this, like, bonding time now. And it's a lot of them talking in a bathroom, which is also just a little bit odd.
Yeah, I have so many issues with the scene at the grill from, like, a Damon Elena perspective, because, like, Damon and Elena come in, he looks so angry. He squares up to John in front of Rick and Jenna to have a bit of an argument. He also plays his full hand to John. Like, he tells John he and Stefan are drinking vervain, all of this, and then he and Elena disappear into a bathroom together. Is no one like, this is a bit weird?
Yeah, like, yeah. They just go in the women's bathroom.
Yeah. What? But also, Jenna's, like, so kept in the dark. If I was Jenna, like, I know that she must know something about, like, Damon and Elena, but I'd be like, why is Damon behaving this way to John? And then Jenna goes and tries to set Damon up with one of her friends. It's so weird.
As far as she's concerned, she saw Damon and Elena kiss, don't forget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is she setting her friend up with a grown man that kisses a 17-year-old? And then why is she letting this 17-year-old in her care spend any time with him?
Yeah. He's always around. Like, as far as Damon's always there. If I was Jenna, I'd be like, we're setting some boundaries with Damon. I know he's your boyfriend's brother, but it's weird.
He's also Jenna's boyfriend's best friend. And that should be a red flag for Rick. And she should not be dating Rick.
Oh, God, no. Yeah.
Why is Damon so involved in their life?
Yeah, I think she should be she should be sitting Elena down and being like, what is going on with Damon? It's creepy. And not being like, here's my really beautiful friend, Andy. Let's set you up with Damon.
Yeah, but also when she's, like, setting up, I don't know, when she was, like, even setting her up with Damon and Andy, I felt like he kept looking at Elena and they were having, like, really intense eye contact. It was just really weird.
It's really weird. And then in the bathroom, at least he did kind of finally address it, but it's so weird, like, in the bathroom, like, Elena was kind of pleading with him to kind of do the right thing. And for once he went, don't do, like, she was, grabbed his arms or something, and he was like, don't do that. Mm. It's just a very weird dynamic.
Yeah, and they pan to Elena when, like, Jenna introduces Damon and Andy. Like, it's an issue for her that he's being introduced to another woman.
Do you know what I'm learning? Is I think deep down, actually, we say this all the time, we don't like the love triangle, and it's, like, the main bit of the show.
Yeah.
We just don't like it.
I just think it's uncomfortable that it's two brothers. I'm uncomfortable that it looks exactly like Catherine.
Uncomfortable that he's a serial killer.
Yeah. I'm uncomfortable that, like, they try and make it like Elena has feelings for Damon when she's in love with Stefan. I'm uncomfortable the way they do it so early on. Like, that's it. Sorry, I've just listed off so many things that I'm uncomfortable with.
I think it's how they handle it in individual episodes, because on Miss Mystic Falls, we were very pro Damon and Elena. It's just when it's this, like, bullshit wishy-washy.
It's just all the time and back and forth and back and forth. It kind of feels like Elena's like, shows she has feelings, then says something to set boundaries, then shows she has feelings. Like, it's really, as you said, it's like a kind of back and forth, up and down. Not going anywhere yet.
Also, let's not forget, and we will never forget it, but on the face of it, this is her boyfriend's brother.
Yeah. It's just weird.
It's weird.
Because then Elena and Damon's confrontation in the bathroom turns into, like, an Elena-John confrontation in the bathroom, which is also, why is he in the women's toilet?
Okay, why is he following
them in? What
is going on? Does Damon say ground her or something? Or, like, don't let her leave?
Yeah, you're on daughter duty, down her, ground her or something. Like, no.
It's just the way Damon is so happy to take... Look. Elena makes some stupid decisions, don't get me wrong, but Damon's so happy to take her autonomy from her. Like, keep her there, put her there, don't let her leave, don't let her do this, don't let her make her own choice.
I think that's, like, last episode, like, he'll occupy her with something. Like, look after Rose so you're out the way and I can just get around. And the conversation that they're having in the bathroom before John interrupts is, like, they've just found out that Caroline's been kidnapped by the werewolves. And Elena seriously has to be like, please don't kill Tyler. Please don't kill Tyler. Like, get Caroline back, but don't kill Tyler. Which is wild.
I also felt when Elena and John were having their confrontation in the bathroom, it had like a weird pop song playing because it was cutting through other scenes, but I thought it really didn't fit the Elena John conversation.
I also thought like the comeback from Elena was really bad, like of John being like, facts are facts, I'm your biological father. And she was like, okay, facts are facts, I will never be your daughter.
Yeah, she's done that a few, she's done some much better versions of that. Like, she loves to play the adopted card and she normally plays it quite well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just like, this didn't really.
No, this didn't go so well.
Was it with John the first time when he was like, what would your mother say? And she was like, which mother?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's done it well previously.
Well, like when she broke the news to him that she knew he was her father, like, why would I help you or something? She's like, because you're my father.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
That was a good one. But alas, this one was not.
Hey, they're not all going to be. No. If you're going to shoot for the stars, you're going to miss a few times.
But yeah, essentially, Damon's run off because he's found out that Caroline's there. And Stefan, he arrives at the same time. Stefan's with Jules trying to negotiate. And Jules has the audacity to be like a bit late to wave the white flag. Like, yes, Damon did kill Mason, but Jules has bit Rose and captured and tortured Caroline. So like, and killed a bunch of campers, which I know isn't in relation, but like,
yeah.
She's done things.
Yeah. She can't act like that high and mighty.
No.
And you think, oh, you know, Stefan and Damon can easily take on Jules and Brady, but then she whistles and the wolves come out.
Oh God, of course she does.
They come out with like flamethrowers.
Yeah, I quite like that. I like a flamethrower. And then you have Damon just being like, you heard her, get over there. Just Tyler.
I found that very funny. What I did like in the negotiation bit but with Jules and Stefan is he is like, Tyler can make up his own decisions. Like, if Tyler wants to come with you, that's like fine. Don't treat him like he's something that has to be, like, he's a thing that you can follow. And I don't know why Tyler doesn't appreciate that, because Jules is just like, we'll go to the nth degree to get Tyler in this pack.
I mean, it comes back to Stefan's character. Is Stefan does value autonomy. He always respects people's decisions, which probably stems back, and I'm bringing this up because it might be quite good character writing, it probably stems back to him taking the choice away from Damon when Damon turned, and he still feels immense guilt over that. So maybe that's why he's always like, they need to make up their own mind, they need to be able to do this for himself, because otherwise you end up with like a bitter little 200-year-old man-child.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then Tyler goes over and this big fight comes out, and he goes in and he hesitates letting Caroline out of the cage.
He does hesitate. But I just think it's a hard one, because yes, he obviously should let her out and he does let her out, but he takes a moment to be like, oh, what's going on? Like, he's not really seen like people be killed before, and like people are being killed behind him, like his friend who's like done this huge betrayal. I just think he's a bit overwhelmed by the situation, because he has the same dumb face on in that moment that he had during the phone call. So I think he's still not really understood what's happening.
No, but the thing is, right, if I saw my friend in a cage who had clearly just been tortured, I would act first, think later. Yeah. And I fully agree with you. I just think, like, why does he hesitate?
He shouldn't hesitate to get her out there. It's crazy that he does. But I do think it is a bit understandable.
Well, what do you think it's understandable when Jules has a gun to Caroline's head and he just stands there? He doesn't say anything. He's not even like, Jules, has this gone a bit far?
He should intervene. But I think he's just so like, what is happening? Like, I think he can't quite comprehend what's going on around him.
Yeah, I get that. And I think like the hesitating at the cage, I like understand more. I think when Jules is literally holding a gun to Caroline's head and he does nothing, that's awful. And I know my only comment here is, I feel like it looks like Jules is about to kill Caroline. I think that's meant to be what it's meant to look like. But a gun to her head wouldn't kill her.
I don't think Tyler would know that.
But does Tyler know this?
Tyler doesn't know anything.
No, Tyler wouldn't know.
Yeah. And I think that's unforgivable. Yeah. Like, that's forgivable.
Yeah. Because I get him not really caring. Like, Stefan's been stabbed. Damon is just about to be killed by Brady. I get him not caring as much. Well, not caring that someone's going to die, maybe a bit. But, like, but he is literally looking at Caroline like they are inches apart. And he...
I wonder if he's meant to be, like, frozen in fear. But he just looks confused.
I'm not sure he is. I think that's, like... I don't know, from the way like Caroline reacts, yeah. I think the way we're meant to take it is that he actively is choosing not to help at this point.
I think that's, we'll get onto it, but I agree. And I think his apology is it wasn't that he was scared.
Yeah.
I think he was more confused.
I think it just makes no sense.
But the way he apologizes.
He would side with yeah. Jules.
No, neither. Like, genuinely, like, I get the betrayal of Mason, but like... I still don't think.
No, I don't either, because he's like, this series he's been trying to like better himself, and he's been really worried about like the werewolf hurting people, and you know, he's felt really guilty about like killing that girl, and it just seems so out of character that he's suddenly not acting.
Mm. Yeah.
And like, I know Caroline has betrayed him, but she's stayed the way she supported him the night that he turned, even though he found out that it could have been he could have killed her in that moment. That's all gone from his mind.
I just feel like, you know, they should have dealt with Tyler better from the start.
Yeah, definitely.
But yes, we get this action scene, and then we get Jonas showing up because he's an absolute badass, taking down.
Also, is it just me, or is the action scene a bit rubbish?
There wasn't anything to write home about.
No, and when you're trying to keep track of the stats, was really, really annoying. The amount of pausing I had
to
do. Yeah. Because I was like, Stefan killed one, two, Damon kills, like, trying to work out.
I would say it wasn't a well choreographed fight scene. And I think you can tell when it's not very well choreographed because they shoot it in darkness. They shoot it with fast camera angles. They do a lot of cuts. The only bit I liked was the guy jumping on Damon and he ripped out his heart. Like, I thought that was one cool moment, but the actual action sequence wasn't very good. But I don't think they're normally that great at action in this show.
Jonas does show up, and he can do like targeted spells. Is that something we've seen before? Because it's all the werewolves bar Tyler.
Yeah,
so he's like intentionally left Tyler out, and I don't know if we've seen that before.
Well, Bonnie's been like targeted one vampire in a room full of vampires, but we've never seen multiple brains being melted at once.
And I find it wild. Okay, so Jonas comes in, kind of paralyzes all of the werewolves, and says to Damon, Stefan, and Caroline, like, Elijah made a promise to Elena. I'm here to see that it's upheld. And then tells Tyler to tell the other werewolves to get the hell out of this town. Surely that is like a point for Elijah in their books. You would think that it shows that he is trustworthy to it, because they don't know anything about him other that he's an original. But he has so far been quite trustworthy since he's made this bargain with Elena.
I bet Elena was like, told you so.
Yeah, of course she will have done.
Do you know what I thought was bizarre? Is Caroline was kidnapped. And yes, we have the lovely moment at the end. We'll get onto this. But we see Bonnie at the grill laughing and having a nice time.
Oh, I've got this down in my notes in capitals. I really, really hate, because that was, so Stefan takes Caroline home and she's like, I'm okay, I'm not girly little Caroline. And she's taking out these like tooth marks, whatever it is that's in her neck that like has been shot at her. And they turn it into a thing of her and Matt, where like she's just spent the whole day being like quite horrifically tortured. And Matt rings her to be like, why aren't you at the grill to talk about our relationship? And then, yeah, why is Bonnie there and why is Elena at home? Because when Stefan arrives, she just speaks to Stefan for ages about John, and then is like, oh, wait, how's Caroline? Yeah. It's an afterthought.
It's so weird. Like, when Elena is kidnapped, the whole world stops and we all have to deal with it the whole episode. But they just seem to not care that much.
No.
Stefan cares.
I love Caroline and Stefan's friendship. What I did, and it was really sweet that he brings Elena and Bonnie to Caroline's house to look after her. But I wish that they would have had their own agency to do it without Stefan. Like, Stefan could have been like, Caroline's had a rough night. And because obviously they weren't there to rescue yeah. her. But I wish that they were like, we've heard, we're worried about you, we've come anyway.
Yeah, I feel like Stefan is the only good friend to Caroline in this episode. And yeah. also over quite a lot, like, he seems to be the most thoughtful towards Caroline.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, I love the moment that Elena and Bonnie come. I love their friendship. I wish they spent more time on it, because you know me, I think female friendships are the best thing in the world. They're like the most important relationships we can have, and they're such like sidelined in this show, because even this tiny little moment is really, really sweet.
Yeah, and I just think it's so unrealistic. Like, I know Elena's got a lot on, so like, side point, but I just think it's really unrealistic that Bonnie doesn't care, that Bonnie's on a date with Jeremy. And
but also, nothing Elena had was that pressing. Like, John arrived and was causing a bit of havoc. But apparently they had a nice chit-chat the night before and left it alone for the night to deal with it in the morning. So if Caroline was kidnapped, she could, you know, put it on pause for another day.
Yeah, yeah, honestly. And then the kind of the only other thing is, well, there's a few things with John. John gives Damon, this is what I hate, like, Elijah's just saved their life, and John gives Damon a method to kill an original. Damon, of all people. And I just think it's really stupid, and it really winds me up, because it's just like, this is just going to cause more problems, surely. This, like, new little magic thing.
I just find John and Isabel, what they know and what they don't know, really frustrating, because it is so whatever the story needs. Suddenly he knows a way to take down an original, and it just feels like, why would Isabel know that? She's not like that older vampire. Yes, she's pretty good at research, but like, not Trevor, what's his name, the guy we like, Slater. had spent yeah. years like researching into like vampire bloodlines and stuff, and he didn't know any of this. So why does Isabel magically know? It's very frustrating.
It also seems like she knows more about Catherine, which I wouldn't believe if Catherine has spent her like most of her life running from Klaus. That I don't believe Isabel would know more. And like John saying, oh, if Isabel accomplishes what we need her to, then Klaus will never set foot. Like, why is it on her? And why are they also getting Catherine out the tomb? Because that's what John goes to visit her.
I think the end scene is implying that John isn't really here for Elena's best interests, is here to continue to help Catherine.
Yeah, I fully agree. My question is why?
Why? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if they ever sell us, to be honest.
Oh, I was just going to make a comment that I really just hate the knife. I hate him giving Damon the knife. I just think it's such a stupid thing to do. Because, as I've said, like, John and Elizabeth... Why do I keep saying Elizabeth? John and Isabel, they have given us no reason to trust them. And Elijah, so far, has done nothing but honour his word. So it just winds me up that they're giving Damon, the most unpredictable and unstable person who will kill anyone to protect Elena, a method to kill Elijah, who might be keeping her safe and keeping her alive.
I agree. I do worry... Not worry, not deeply concerned by it. But I do think we like Elijah, and we're letting a lot of our feelings and attraction for Elijah bleed into these conversations.
No, but also, like, so far, they have nothing but this to go on. Yeah.
I think they're saying they also don't have a reason to... I get why they wouldn't feel they can fully trust Elijah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But...
Yeah.
John is not the person you turn to in these situations.
Nor, like, I hate that John gives it to Damon. Like, he should give the knife to Stefan. I think that's my bigger concern, is like, Damon is so unpredictable.
Well, that's probably then part of what John clearly wants Elijah taken out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if we gave it to Stefan, you couldn't guarantee that Stefan wouldn't, like, think things through.
Yeah, whereas I feel like Damon will just something... Elena will be in the smallest amount of threat, and he will be like, we've got to kill Elijah now. I just think that's silly. But anyway.
Oh dear. Dear, oh dear. Do you like John as a cat? Like, do you find him, I don't know, how do you feel that he's back? Do you think he's good on the show?
No.
No, you don't like him?
I don't know. I don't think he's got, like, He feels like he's just sort of a wet mop for other people's agendas, and I wish he had a bit more of kind of a reason himself for the way he acts, whereas it feels like the last time he was doing a lot of stuff for Isabel, for Catherine, you know, he's not really doing anything that I think he
for John
feels. Yeah.
John, you've got to look after yourself.
Yeah. But like, you know, it's either he's saying it's for Elena, so either do it for Elena or do it for him. Like, it feels like he's a bit of kind of a lapdog for people who he shouldn't care as much about as Elena, and I get it.
The most important relationship we have is with ourselves, and John needs to prioritize that a bit more.
John needs to look after John.
I get it though. I agree, because it's like he's meant to hate vampires, but he will work so happily with Isabel and Catherine, and it makes no damn sense. Compels me though. But
I think what I like about him coming into, I don't like him as a character, but I do enjoy seeing everyone react with absolute disgust to him.
That, yeah. I will agree with that. I do enjoy everyone hating John.
And I guess we have Damon and Andy scene. So they're in his open plan bathroom, which we've already discussed at length. And in a bath with the most bubbles I've ever seen.
Yeah, they went crazy with that bubble bath there. And you can see he's kind of, Damon's reverted to his old way. Like, he's compelling his, basically he's got a compelled girlfriend or date, and is telling her about how he enjoys killing people. I think what's interesting in this scene, I was kind of almost like watching it through Andy's eyes, is that it's almost scarier when he's like, oh, I kill people, acting as a human. I know that sounds silly, but like, it makes him sound like a, I don't know if he is a serial killer, but he's a serial killer who is a vampire. This makes him feel like a human serial killer, and it's very creepy.
Mm-hmm. My question is, like, are we meant to feel empathy or sympathy for Damon in this scene? Like, is the audience meant to be on his side? Because I didn't enjoy it one bit of being like, I'm in love with, like, are we meant to feel sorry about how much he's in love with Elena? Because then he just kisses Andy and bites her. So it's back to how he, like, used to treat Caroline.
I don't think we're meant to feel sympathy for him. I think we're meant to be like, oh, the love of a good woman can change him. But I don't think we're meant to, because he says, I'm bad, Andy. I do things. Well, fuck that. And he fundamentally likes killing people. That's what this scene like reinforces, is he gets pleasure out of killing people. He doesn't just do it for an agenda or to serve a purpose. He just enjoys it.
He must, in a way, get like turned on by it, because the idea that he had a relationship with Caroline and he treated her like a human blood bag, and now he's treating Andy like a human blood bag.
That's sick.
There must be some like sexual bit to it as well for him.
I think there is. Because I think you only have to look at, he was so many examples of Damon's like feeding and having sex and killing being all kind of wrapped up in the same person that he must enjoy it.
Ugh. Awful.
And he's one of our romantic leads.
God.
I did think the like image of the like Andy's back in the bubbles with like the blood going down, I thought that was a very like vampiric image, and that was like a good like horror moment. I think I liked this episode less the more we talked about it.
Yeah, me too.
I didn't mind it at first, and now we've talked about it and I was like, I don't think I liked
yeah,
it.
Yeah, there were bits of it that were just, oh, one thing I forgot is Tyler has the audacity to go back to Jules. Tyler's gone to apologize to Caroline. She's like, absolutely not, as rightfully so. But then he goes back and he tells them about the freaking moonstone.
But he doesn't know. He doesn't. This is what I mean, is why haven't they told Tyler? Why have they only got pieces of information?
It is like, they do this with Jenna, they do it with Tyler, and it, like, why do they keep people in the dark? Because, like, and they did it with Jeremy. Jeremy ends up dating and getting used, like, by a vampire. If he knew stuff in advance, he could protect himself better. Tyler could be better prepared and not giving information to people who actively want to. He doesn't know what he.
I just think Stefan owes it to, like, let's put Caroline aside, because Tyler did treat her awfully this episode, but Stefan owes it to Tyler to explain why Mason died.
Yeah.
And he just hasn't done.
No, and I think also, like, Tyler doesn't know that a werewolf has to die for this curse. Like, they have the information that Elena, a werewolf, and a vampire need to die. He also doesn't know that there's a chance he could be risking Bonnie's life because he doesn't know Bonnie's a witch.
Yeah.
He has no idea about anything, but he has pieces of information. And he doesn't say the moonstone. He doesn't even know the moonstone was like a sensitive thing. He just knows Mason was looking for
it. He refers to it as like a stupid rock or something, doesn't he? He's like, that's why he was around. He was looking for some rock. Like, yeah.
Fucking idiot.
And they put themselves so much more at risk for not telling Tyler.
Yeah. Stupid.
Or Jeremy could talk to Tyler. They're friends.
Why didn't they send Jeremy? Because
Jeremy and Elena. This is crazy.
Because Jeremy and Tyler have spoken about him being a werewolf, haven't they? Jeremy's like, I know.
Mm-hmm. So like, okay, I was thinking like, okay, Bonnie and Elena are busy tonight, but they could have, Stefan and Jeremy could have gone to talk to Tyler.
Yeah.
The fact that they leave Tyler to his own devices after the day he's had is crazy.
Or Rick, like an older, like Tyler's recently lost his dad and his uncle, like an older male. I mean, Rick is a piece of shit, but like Tyler probably has some respect for him. So you know what I mean? Like there are so many options
that
they had. I just
feel like Stefan, some other guy in your year that you don't get on with is not the best choice.
No. Yeah.
I'm furious.
No, I'm with you.
Me too.
Okay. Any final thoughts?
Have a group chat, guys. Just have a group chat and use it.
Please.
That's my final thought.
Okay, let's move on to stats. I've just thrown my notebook away like I've done the episode, but I've got my stats written down.
If we start...
We're like, done with this.
I may have got the death stats wrong, but I've got 1 for Damon and 3 for Stefan.
That's right.
Yeah.
Lovely.
And Damon's is a heart grab.
It is.
It is.
I always love when they do a heart grab.
Yeah, so Damon's still top of the pack on 7. This is Stefan's first kills in season 2.
Mm. Fair play.
Mm-hmm. And then we have some relationships to add.
We do. Damon and Andy and Jules and Brady. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. So some Damon has a few like one-offs that are just him and various women. So we're adding another one of them.
Damon's is going to get so crowded.
Yeah. It's already got... He's got 8 now.
Mm.
You know what? I was expecting higher, actually.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't dated a lot in season 2. Just Andy. Okay, so if you ever want to see our stats, we actually put them on our socials. So where can they find these things?
You can find them on Instagram. We post them at Missing Mystic Falls Pod.
Oh, Ellie gasped.
Does this. And on our Twitter, which is Miss Mystic Pod.
Yeah.
Yes, Ellie.
She's got it. And you can go into your podcast app of choice and give us 5 stars, no less. Thank you very much. Bye. No, we'll be back on the episodes every single Wednesday.
In the new year.
In the new, oh, yeah. Happy
Alison 2024.
In 2024. My God. Happy Christmas, everyone.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas, everyone and all.
Happy New Year.
Yeah. So, yeah, we'll be back in 2024. That's crazy to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My God. More Vampire Diaries.
What a year it will be.
Excited already.
Okay, bye everyone.
Bye.
Bye.